Do you want to do a podcast voiced intro?
No.
No?
I'm going to say hi, Sam. I'm going to do that beforehand.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do the, what's it called? Although you can give me tips.
The intro?
You're more.
Mm-mm, I want to see what you got.
No, don't say that. Don't. Well, I don't know what I'm going to say.
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I like when people talk about me.
What's that?
Okay,
I'm going to talk about you. Wait, when did you start? When did you join the studio? How long ago?
That's a great question. It was before, it was like 2017, I think, or 2018.
Right, I want to find this out.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hashtag Actor Life, a John Rosenfeld Studios podcast. And I'm your host, John Rosenfeld.
Today, I'm going to tell you how John was first ever on a podcast on mine. And he sat in a room and we talked for an hour or so. And then he got up and he goes, that was really fun. And now he has a podcast. So you're welcome. Hashtag actor life. John also loves Taylor Swift. There's a poster in the corner. I heard that he fought very hard to get tickets to the concert and then he gave them to his wife. What a gentleman. What a... I can stop whatever he says.
All right, we are here. Well, you're a seasoned podcaster, so I would like you to do a little bit of some intro for me.
For you?
Yeah, you got to do it.
Okay, all right.
Well,
so,
I will say this.
Is there a caveat?
I will say you did start in I believe, March of 2018.
18.
And were in class with me, like, through 21. Mm-hmm. And then you did some stuff here in 22, mm-hmm. like audition camp and all that.
Yes.
So I got the dates.
Okay. So to talk about you, the first time I met John, we sat down for my, what do we call them when you sit down and
consultation?
My consultation. Yeah. And I was with two other actors and we did our piece, which I would probably now look at and think, what were you working on? And then you said, and what are you looking for in class? And I turned to you and I said, I don't like most acting classes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
You do.
I do remember that.
And you said, okay, all right. Well, we have some things to work on. And I was like, well, challenge accepted. And then, you know, I started out in the program and I went through the weekend intensive, which is the three
tool shop.
Yeah. And I ended up having to miss the next thing. And you were like, we're just going to get you in class. We'll get you in. And I truly feel like this is one of the most impactful. This is not a paid advertisement. One of the most impactful acting classes I had, because the way that we talked about things and the way that we talked about thoughts and things like that changed my whole view of looking at scenes and the people I've met. And, you know, I still am friends with some of them. I still get to talk to a lot of people. And it's just a different environment than some of the places I was previously.
Right.
And that was exactly what I needed.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you want me to go more about you or was that okay?
Well, I do remember you coming in and you kind of, we can relate to today and how actors are feeling right now. But I remember you walking in the room and I love that you were honest about that.
Mm.
You know, the more thing that you were authentic, like, this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I don't like acting class, rather than trying to make me happy. It was almost like you were very clear. I'm not going to try to please John. And that's good. I love that.
Yeah.
I love when people do that. Like, I'm understanding what relationship you've had with teachers beforehand.
Yeah.
And you had kind of a weary relationship with just the just acting in general in classes.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at you right now and like that weariness is gone. And you are you still one broke actress?
So yes, but in a different way.
Right. I want to hear about that.
One Broke Actress started out as a play on the show Two Broke Girls was popular when I started this, and that tells you how long ago it was. And I started to develop it as, you know, financially or physically or mentally or in some capacity, every actor is a little broke. And we're trying to fill a void or fix something or work on X, Y, and Z. And I strongly believe that I will always be one broke actress in a way in which there's always something to work on. And the voids I'm filling and the places I'm working on are different than they were before. But yeah, I think it's something I'll always identify with. And I think it's interesting that people want the word broke to be like broken. And to me, it's like it's a level of fixing. But you're never fully fixed.
I always think back to an interview that George Clooney had when he was doing a press junket, and some dumb reporter asked him something. He was playing a man who was broke. And the reporter asked, like, how do you feel qualified to play someone like this, being your George Clooney?
Yeah.
And he looked at the guy. He's like, I'm butchering it. But he said, are you fucking crazy? He's like, I lived in a house with a whole bunch of roommates for years. It's like, you don't forget that.
No, it fuels you every single day.
No, it's like someone who had weight issues as a kid. You never, it doesn't matter. It's always part of your being. I was a chubby kid. I will always be a chubby kid.
Mm-hmm. Always.
In my brain, I'm always a chubby kid. Yes. That doesn't go away.
I know. I understand that.
God, it's so good sitting here with you. It's bringing up so many thoughts. I remember when you came with that weariness, and you should feel enormously accomplished. I mean, all that you've done, but it's taken so much consistency. And I remember you had already begun One Broke Actress. And for those that don't know, a lot of people know you, Sam. A lot of people know you.
I can't think about that too hard. I have to pretend I'm a little bit.
I know, but it's because you've done it. This was born out of an authentic voice. You have an authentic voice. You were speaking to, well, first of all, you came up with a good idea, but it was an idea that was an expression of your creativity, and that you knew that you're like, how could there not be a market for what you're talking about? Because it's so fucking universal.
Yeah.
You know, like this profession is, it requires so much commitment and fortitude and resilience. And you have to stay in love with it.
Yes.
Which is, you know, you can't have a hard, you can't have such a fraught relationship with acting, or else it's unsustainable.
Yeah.
You have to stay creative. You have to love yourself.
Yep. There's
all these things that have to happen in order to be successful.
Yeah.
And so you came up with this One Broke Actress, which was really just, and what was the year that you started it exactly?
I started the blog. It started out as a website almost privately in 2016.
Okay.
And then I started to share it on Facebook, once again, dated, in 2017. Yeah. And then the podcast came out later that year.
And what year did I go on your podcast?
2018 or 2019? Probably 2019, because I remember I was recording in a co-working space that year until the world lit on fire.
We'll get to that. But you now, how many episodes have you done of your podcast?
Oh, 250 something plus. And then I have a catalog of bonus podcasts on my Patreon that's like 70, I think, at this point that are.
Yeah. And I remember at that point, I realized how behind I was. I was like, I can't even start now. And now I have. But by the way, I just want you to know, the reason I started this, and Haley helped me come up with this. Hi, Haley.
Hi.
Haley and Adam. Was during the strike.
Mm.
And I just needed something that was an expression of what I felt actors were going through. And I felt the need to be creative, right? It was just like, I got to do something that excites me. And this is what excites me. So that's why it's called hashtag afterlife. Because I'm like, I always see hashtag afterlife and I'm like, what the hell does that mean to people?
Yes.
And it can mean so many things. And it can mean, hey, look at me, I'm on set doing work with these great people. Or it can mean I have no fucking money and I'm sitting here, you know, doing stand-in work.
Yeah. And it can be it can be both of those things for the same person in the span of a week.
In the span of a week. Right.
And that is really hard on your mental health and your bank account.
But I remember I went on your podcast. I went on Adam Ray's podcast, and I realized he was already like, I did just like 510th.
Wow.
I'm like, but it was such a great reminder of like, God, does this career require consistency. Like, you've just got to do it. 95% of this career is showing up whether you want to or not.
100%. And I think that we all forget, and I sometimes forget, that that means that you might go years where all you feel like you're doing is showing up. And there's no hit. There's no win. There's no, you know, thumbs up validation unless you set your own bars. But that's the hard part. Because you say that, you know, it's so much showing up. And you're like, yeah, but like, you know, every once in a while, someone's going to like kick something to me. And then when you don't, for example, book a job for 2-3 years, that idea of all you're doing is showing up starts to feel like all you're doing is nothing. And that's a huge thing I'm seeing with actors, and that I've dealt a lot with myself, is that you're searching for a win so hard you don't see the wins that you're doing every single day. And that's something I've been talking about a lot lately, because this has been a weird couple of months or years.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because you, I really could talk to you all day.
I know.
You were in class in March of 2020.
I remember it so well.
I remember I was in class. I don't remember which day it was. It might have been Wednesday night. You had switched around classes a couple.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a jumper.
Mostly due to your schedule.
Yes. That's changed a lot. That's changed a lot.
And I'll never forget, you know, we were hearing about this pandemic. We were hearing about the virus.
Yeah.
And I was so wrong. I'm like, guys, let's relax. Let's calm down. Nothing's like, we're going to be fine. But then when they canceled the basketball game.
Oh, yes.
That's when my stomach went, wait, they canceled an entire basketball game?
It's funny how much that sticks in so many people's
basketball game?
Brains. Yeah, when the NBA canceled, it was the same day we found out about Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And I was in line at Whole Foods, and it was the line wrapped around the store, and I'll never forget that. And then that, was it that same week, I think, we had class, and we got together, and it was when the studio was do you guys still use the space by the old Starbucks?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't use that anymore.
It was back there, and we were all sitting there, and everyone was like, I don't know, should we be here? It feels so weird. Right. And then I got an email that my improv class was canceled for the next day. I was just about to complete 301 at UCB. So bummed. Oh, yes. I never got to do my show. I sent out postcards. They said, I promise I won't shake your hand. I thought it was so funny. Vistaprint gave me all my money back, though. They were super nice about it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was very kind of them. So we were all sitting there, and then things started to be canceled, and we were all like, I guess we'll act? And it was the weirdest class. And then the next week, we got an email that this was when everything started to shut down. And the studio said, we're going on hold and we're going to figure some stuff out. And then I think we got one that said, does everyone want to just touch base on Zoom? And we all met on a Zoom. And I was like, what is Zoom? And we talked. And the idea, you guys were floating around the idea of trying to do Zoom class. And I remember thinking it was the dumbest idea. And the most impossible thing ever to act on a Zoom. I thought it was insane. I was like, this is never going to work. We're never going to connect. It's never going to be a thing. Like, there's no way I can take a class that's on Zoom. We started doing it the next week, and, you know, we were all just game because, honestly, we needed something to do, to look forward to, because a lot of our lives, like, I was a nanny and a meal prep chef, and all these people were like, don't come to my house. And so... thank God we did it, though, and we powered through. And within a month, it felt so normal.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It was so, to switch the studio over to Zoom, and we were really big. I mean, we had 30 classes, and we had to shift overnight to Zoom. And for me I was with everyone, like, what's happening to our world? But then also this... thing, this community that everyone has worked tirelessly to build was like, how do we not let it just die in a day?
Yeah. Yes.
You know? And everyone did fight to stay together. Now that mm-hmm. there's, and that's one of the things I'm interested to go from, like, what's happened from then to now, because we did, everyone, A, needed community.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to stay in touch with their art, with their acting, and stay,
yeah.
have, remember the, to do the thing that they loved, even though we could not get together and do it in person. And there were so many amazing classes, actually, where there was so much vulnerability. Do you remember how honest those talks were?
Yeah. Yeah. At the top of class, it was like just checking in.
Yeah.
Felt like I would look forward to that all week long. So I was like, what's the person who's not my husband, who was my fiance at the time, like? How are they feeling?
Oh, my God. I'm remembering when your internet was really struggling and I was telling you
oh
how to
God.
Do your...
Oh, my God. You made
your,
me... You were like, get
ether,
a Google Mesh.
Get a,
yes.
get a Google Mesh.
I still use it, by the way.
Of course.
It's so good. Yeah, because I would bump out every single class. But we started to play with silly things like our backgrounds changing was a huge update. And like playing with Snapchat filters that you could use on Zoom and silly things like that that just made... It just made it so much lighter, and we didn't even realize at the time as what we were doing was preparing for the world we live in now, in which a lot of acting is done on Zoom and
callbacks
and
tests even.
Yes, my friend just did a network test, and they ended up booking her for another role in the show, and she's in Hawaii right now for 2 months. Like,
when I have an actor who comes into my Zoom room, because I still do my consultations over Zoom,
yeah.
it's too much of a pain in the ass to do them in person.
Totally.
Classes in person, to consultations, just that way you can do it from your car. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone still doesn't know how to pin someone, I'm like, where have you been?
I know.
Where have you been? You don't know how to do gallery? Like, guys, come on, get with it.
I have at the beginning of, after we had started class, I realized that nobody knew how to use Zoom, and I figured it out super quick, like the basics. So I made a YouTube video, and I put it up of just like how to act on Zoom, and it's still my highest performing video of all time because no one knew what they were doing. It looks so dated now if you look at it, because it was from 2020, but it was doing really well because nobody knew how to use it. And now I think it's insane if people don't know how to use it. But that year of learning to connect through a computer was invaluable. It was so important to just staying in it and seeing people. Like, we had people in our class who were booking still, and they would come back and tell us like what it was like COVID testing and how sets were and what they did in between takes. And that is, I think acting community is so huge every single day, so you don't feel alone in this insanity. But that time, having just that Zoom room of people every single week, was like, God, it was a savior. It was so important.
And I think back to that time, and everyone, oddly, during the pandemic, they actually were having a good relationship with acting to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were reminded, now that it was taken away.
Yeah.
Sometimes that which is taken away, you rarely realize, you have to recognize, do I miss it or not?
Yes.
It's like you can just change the pronoun. It's just a relationship with acting, relationship with your spouse, relationship with a friend.
Yeah.
When it's taken away, do you miss that person or not? And we missed acting. We missed being in the room. Then we came back, obviously. And then the strikes.
Ugh.
I knew I was in trouble when I was supposed to coach three different actors on shows and like shows and movies that they were working on. I was going to be going to set and all that. And I had 3 months planned. And the strike hit, and I got a call from all three of them simultaneously going, I'm canceling everything. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a journey.
Oh.
This is going to be a journey. Hence podcast.
Yeah, hi.
Hi,
I'm
podcast.
Glad you're here.
But I was like, it was wild to go, okay, but so what I've seen is, let's go back to that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And now, even though the strike is done,
mm-hmm.
you are noticing, and we've been seeing all those deadline articles, contraction.
Yeah.
I mean, that is real. There is less stuff being cast right now. It's not that the stuff will not come back, but of course it will, but I think what you can tell me what you've been saying to your clients, but I've just noticed that it's kind of like if you clear out your closet, you're going to be very particular about what you're going to put back in your closet.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that's a lot of what's happening right now, as well as the bullshit capitalist, you know, well, that's, I shouldn't say bullshit, but
what is?
You know,
yeah.
Investors. They're thinking about their investors.
Yes.
Not necessarily thinking about us, you know, yeah. or the crew or the people that are, you know, yeah. the below the line people who are out of work. But I think what you and I are both witnessing and what we do is that we're noticing actors have now that fraught relationship. And it's hard. Like, Chris Messina said something like, you know, you have to love acting. And often we conflate the business side with our love of acting. And that's what toxifies mm-hmm. our love of acting mm-hmm. when we really keep it separate. And one thing I will always say is that, you know, there's some very happy people doing regional theater in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Who have a day job and they love their acting. However, while that may be true, there are a lot of people who spend their entire lives building it so that they can rely on this as a career.
Yeah.
And suddenly that's getting tested for some, where they do or struggle. Like, and that includes not just actors, but the crew.
Yes.
That, you know, the makeup artists, the caterers, all that. Yeah. So it's hard to not let that actually color your relationship.
Yeah.
With the industry. So I'm wondering what the conversations you've been having with actors and how you're helping them navigate that.
This is the first time I can actually very honestly say my low level of acting success is behooving me greatly. The amount that I have had to do to build jobs and systems and financial security outside of acting was always the bane of my existence, because I thought that it was the reason, you know, I'm so focused on my side jobs and they keep me so busy. And, you know, that was why I would switch classes all the time, is because I had four or five jobs.
Right.
And it was exhausting. And, you know, I would eat in my car and I would like try to find a place to park so I could eat and then I could run to class. And then it was not sustainable. But what I learned from all of that was how to keep my financial security outside of my acting career, because I did not have success as an actor in a financial realm at all. And I spent the pandemic kind of building up other systems, and I ended up starting some different jobs. And because of building my own businesses, I now can continue to not require acting to pay my bills.
Right.
And that is easier for me to do than someone who's been in this business for 40 years and has always had their health insurance from this and has always had success from this. So it's hard for me to speak to that. It's not something I've experienced. But what I can say is the gift of some of this time we've had of strikes and of we don't know what's going to happen with our crew members this year. And we need to start talking about our commercial contracts going into next year when we vote on them again. Like, that's going to be huge because all the streamers are paying nothing for commercials. And now they all have commercials. So we have a lot to work on. And that is going to be a huge part of the conversation. But when there's time, my favorite thing to talk to actors, especially newer ones who are trying to get started and who feel so bogged down by all of this, is what can you invest time into right now that might detract ever so slightly from your acting career that would build you a foundation to build on later? So do you want to spend a little bit more time and money learning things like becoming a, you know, certified tutor, like an SAT tutor? Or a lifeguard, or these type of jobs that have higher qualifications, so you would need to spend energy and time and money to get them off the ground. But then will that serve you later so that your skill set is worth more than $20 an hour? Because that's just unsustainable, especially in a city like LA. We can't do it. It's just impossible. I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but I would work all my jobs and I would come to class, and then I was event managing remotely on the side. So I would be in class and like checking in on my event crew and stuff sometimes. And like, that was not, I was then not getting enough out of class and barely making enough money to get by.
Right.
So it's detracting from everything. Whereas in The Gift of Time, you get a little bit of pause to look at what could I do to make money that would also sustain me later. And it's scary, and it's also very humbling. And I've had to eat that humble pie for years, so it doesn't bother me anymore. And now I've made it such a thing I talk about. I love helping actors find jobs. I love helping them find something that like sustains them and doesn't suck the life out of them. So when they go to class and when they go to set and when they get auditions, they don't feel like it's another burden. And it's a ride. It's a hard ride, but I don't see this changing anytime soon. I don't see networks not wanting to invest in known talent. And those of us who are unknown have to stay in this game long enough to get to a further place where we can then be seen more.
You have to stay in the game long enough.
Yes.
I know. How am I doing, by the way?
I think you're killing it.
Okay, great. I'm the one who's not, I'm the one who has a studio now, right? I'm not at the front line. And I was at the front line. And I think my biggest challenge was the stories I would tell myself. I came really close to some real career changing events. And I should have surrounded myself with people like, that's why I'm good at what I do, is because I know what it's like to have that mentality of where you take the losses too seriously.
Oh yeah.
And I would start to feel bad for myself. And I needed someone to say, shut the fuck up. Get back in the fucking game.
Yeah.
Like you're one of the very few that came that close to that career changing moment. But then I started to have expectations, but it was really ego. And it was the story I would tell myself. And I remember at one point someone said, you should write something or you should do this. And then I'm like, oh, great. I'm the person who has to write something.
Isn't it funny the way we interpret it?
Isn't the way we interpret it?
Yes.
Well, but then I would always have no problem thinking ahead like you're talking about when I was already on something.
Oh, yes. The best thing in the world is the next thing.
Yeah, when you're already working and you're already making that money and you're feeling creatively fulfilled, then you're like, great, I'm going to, you know what, let's think ahead, you know? Like I think of, my long-time client, Randall Park. Mm-hmm. You know Randall?
Yeah.
Like he has a production company, he's on shows, and he's such a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
But he is in that creative space where it's like, and it's not out of ego for him. It's just now he has opportunities to actually create things that feel good to him.
Yeah.
But the one thing that he had that I didn't have is he was doing that even during tough times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like you. Yeah. And this is where I go back to you. You were doing that stuff during tough times and during the good times. I'm sure it's a lot easier to create those things during when it's not tough. But you were doing one during those tough times. So those stories that we tell ourselves, we have to be so clear. And I'm sure you must deal with clients all the time that are telling themselves some really unhelpful stories.
Yes. And they tend to find people who reinforce their stories, which is the hard part, which is part of the reason I struggled in acting classes, is because I had trouble finding people who lived on the build up actors and not put them on this hierarchy of like you go to level one and then you advance to level two and three and then you're in the advanced class and you got to keep it ongoing because we got loyalty here. And, you know, the teacher walks in and we're like, oh, my God, there she is. There they are. I hated it. And that is that build up of asking permission from other people. And I got good at doing stuff in downtimes is because I mostly have just had downtimes. I could look at it in any sort of way. I choose to say like, oh, I'm actually, everything I've done has built to me building these companies. And if the most I get to do is talk to some actors every single day and make them not quit today, then I'm good. Like, sure, I'd love to have more auditions. I would love to have some fun, more opportunities. I don't know, an actor alive who feels differently. And so I've set my bar differently. And that is where a lot of the work comes in, is figuring out how to set your bar. But it gets really scary to set your bar when you attach the financials to it.
Yeah,
and that's a lot of the actors I talk to are newer to this business. And so we talk a lot about setting up their own goals that have nothing to do with anyone else's permission. Because if you're waiting for someone else's permission to do anything in this career, look at the last couple of years. There's a mentality of, well, I started this business in COVID and then I got hit with the strikes. I'm like, wait a second. You are still non-union. You can still go out for roles during the strikes.
Yeah.
You can still, and even if you did join the union, welcome to this next level where it doesn't exactly equal, you're not going to make your money back probably the first year.
Yeah.
You gotta play with the level you're at and figuring out what their mindset is for this next thing and like what is it that they can control and what makes them feel good in their day-to-day life and not just their career. That's the thing I wish more people would talk about, because there is no secret. You know this. There's no, like, if we had it, we would both be sitting in real nice chairs, not doing a podcast, keeping our money and like sitting on our hill, you know what I mean? But there is no secret, else I'd be using it, you guys. Everyone would know who I was. Like, I would be very famous if I knew the secret. But there is not one. So it's like, what can you do to stay in this game long enough, like we were saying, to survive? And then when you do get more success, and then you slop down again, and then you get more, and then it comes down again, how do you regulate yourself? So one, you're not a horrible person to be around during all of those ups and downs. And two, you manage to be here long enough through all of them that things start to accumulate slowly over time. And if you told me that I would be here in my career right now when I started 13 years ago in this town, I would say it's clearly not working. 13 years, I should be so famous. No, it's not how it works. I have so much to learn and so many things to figure out as I go. And I just want to share it with people so we can all feel a little less like crazy. And that's what we've been talking about a lot with the people, is just figuring out how to survive.
But if you think of the 23-year-old, 22-year-old you looking at where you are right now,
yeah,
don't you think she would say, okay, I co-sign that. I'm.
Yeah, she'd be like, your husband's really hot. No, I would. I think I would. It's just so different than what I pictured it to be. I really thought I was coming to LA, and God love the small town mentality of like, there's a level of privilege in my youth and growing up in the towns I did that I was like, they've never seen anybody like this before. And you laugh because we know they've seen a lot of this. And it's okay, but like, the expectation I had was so high that I'd like to think I would be excited by where I was, but I also might be gently disappointed. And the reason I don't feel that way in my day-to-day life is because I've grown past 22-year-old Sam. And I've grown past 32-year-old Sam, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think, you know, in order to be a great actor, you have to tolerate confusion and you have to welcome confusion. You know, you have to sit through, because that's where the great discoveries are made. You're saying, I don't really quite get this moment. I don't get this scene yet. But you're like, if I just keep on looking at it, if I keep on reading it, if I keep on asking questions, eventually something is going to materialize in my brain. I'm going to excavate something from my being, or I will be inspired by a story, or it's going to remind me of something. You just have to sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
And too often what actors will do is not have that patience and then go, well, I'm just going to do this. And they just make a choice.
I mean, that's what we're told to do. Right? Just make a choice.
Right. But then what is that? But that's a result-oriented choice. Like, I'll just do it like this rather than actually find out what it, like the truth, the authenticity of it, where it exists. But I think that actually is in alignment with what we're talking about as far as your career.
Yeah.
In order to mine this, to succeed in any way in life, you have to tolerate that confusion of, I don't know how I'm going to earn money. let me figure it out. Let me sit with myself. Let me figure out, like, what do I honestly want to do? Like, you don't go to one, you know, one broke actress, right, without sitting with yourself and finding what will inspire me to, like, wake up every day and have something I really want to do.
Yeah.
I think all of these things. I just think, like, when I go back to, like, the Adam Ray or Eric Andre, you know, with the Eric Andres, like, all of these are an expression of, like, who they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't do it to make money. They did it because they had to do something.
Yeah. Yes. And I want to make sure that it doesn't come off like I wake up every day like, oh, I'm so excited I think a week and a half ago, I've reached out to a different agent in a different market and it felt like a sure thing and it didn't work out. And I cried for like 3 hours. Like I threw a full pity party and it was a whole thing. And I was like, all right, that sucked. It's unfortunate. What does it change? And what do I do if I want to do something about it? And I can sit in that for a little while and now, you know, talk about it.
And I definitely don't want to make it sound like we all, but this is when you're on a show, sometimes like you just want, I don't care if you're on the show that you're die or a play. You're sometimes just like, I want to stay home.
I tell this to actors all the time. Like, I swear to God, everything I've ever worked on is like everyone, no matter if it's the biggest project of your life or it's a tiny student film, everyone just wants to do a good job and they want to go home and sit on their couch with their person of choice, with their beverage of choice and call it a day.
Yeah.
And I already have that. I got a person, I got a couch, I got a cup of tea. That's cake. So if I just can get the job part sorted out, okay, you know? And if I can like manage it all in the meantime, like that's
it's really irrational to think that anybody's going to get up every day. I don't think a lawyer sits there.
No.
You know, whistling to themselves, going, "I'm going to work today. I can't wait. I don't care." Hey, it's life. This is life.
Yeah.
And I think when people have irrational expectations of what life is, but what life is it takes a lot of maintenance and a lot of work on self. And I will say for you, there seems to be so much more self love now than in 2018, but that's probably, it's a combination of things. It's nurturing of you're married now, and that means a lovely relationship with your very hot husband.
He's gonna love this.
No, but also there is something about walking around feeling accomplished. Like I think to feel like you know what you're doing.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To know that you are accomplished at something is just, I think we all need to feel that in some way.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of data collection
so
to
much data.
Feel as though you're like getting somewhere. And it's a lot of time of being like, okay, well, I might not know where I'm going exactly, but I know that I'm doing something that matters today.
I had an actor come in class to speak to this, please, to your people. 23, very talented, but he watches me break down scenes. He's like, I don't understand. Why am I not seeing what you're seeing?
Oh, it takes so long.
I remember
when I thought that too. I was like, does John just read minds? How does he know what's happening?
I'm like, I have decades of data in my brain. Every human being falls within a pattern of human behavior. And I think that even goes to what you said. You know, you said, no one's ever seen someone like me. Everyone's seen someone like everybody.
Yes.
There's no unicorns. There are no unicorns. And it's like we follow patterns. There's books, thousands of psychology books talking about human behavior, why we are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing we have to do is, but one thing I have to say, I'm going to give you another compliment. It's also your brand.
Mm.
Is being honest about who you are. Being honest about, and you're actually earning money by being honest about who you are. Like,
yeah,
that is
how
your brand.
Rad is that?
How rad is that? That you get to actually say, hey, I struggle with this. I'm not going to inflate myself because the optically, it's better if you're just honest about where you are. No. You know what I mean?
It's cool.
You're not going to embellish your resume. You're going to say, hey, everybody, in order for me to be successful at what I do, I have to actually present an honest, accurate portrait.
Yeah.
Because that will make you feel witnessed.
Which it's hard to do in a town like this.
Very, I'm sure.
I like walk around and it's like everyone's got like a G-Wagon and like all their fancy stuff and like they don't care about getting parking tickets. And I'm like, how is everyone so rich and doesn't care about anything? And then you're here long enough, you're like, oh, that's a lease. Everyone's in debt. Like everyone's got their own bag, you know, of some sort. And you start to realize that the more real I am, and I've decided to put it on social media, but you can put it one of many ways, the more successful and free I feel, which is a very cool feeling. So now when I've ran into cool people at like Trader Joe's and they're like, oh, I listen to your podcast. And I'm so glad that it's such a compliment that they get who I am and that they've seen me as me, because it feels so different than someone being like, oh, I saw you on that show, you know, because it's something I made and it's me. It's like barely any makeup, like first thing in the morning, like messy. And I'm like, here, I'm cried about losing this agent or whatever it is. And it feels so much more special and connected. And I don't feel any sort of fear when I go out into the wild, as you will, because it's just me. And even when I show up in casting rooms, like I've made friends with casting directors through this, and
right,
they're calling me in for roles that fit me more, which is cool. And I've had a lot more fun that way.
Getting to see you.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, but it takes time to get there.
It's scary. I'm just now figuring out who she is. Like it's a process. There's been therapy. There's a little bit of medication help in this. Like. I'm a big fan of rooting for your own mental health. Like, it's a journey. We're on it. I'm nowhere near done. I got a lot of work to do, but it's fun.
We never don't. It doesn't stop.
Damn it! Really?
It doesn't stop.
You're not done.
No.
You're not baked.
The second you think you have it, a new mountain appears.
COVID.
Yeah. And then it's the next obstacle.
Yeah.
I it's true. I always say this. Having a lot of data teaching and in the second a class, when any of my classes is like truly has one of those magical months,
mm-hmm.
something's going to rock the boat. Something will, you know,
yeah.
But you can never get caught up in your own success or anything like that. Even the class, you just got to remember this is a journey. You peak, valley, you know, and in careers, acting careers, there's no career that just has that, I can't do this over a podcast, but this just upward trajectory.
Yep.
It's like the housing market. Look at it over 20 years. Don't look at it in 6 months.
Yes.
Or 3 years. You have to look at it over a 20-year, 40-year, 50-year graph.
And I think it's so hard with this career, though, because we're told that it happens. We are sold this youth idea that if you don't make it when you're 20s, those are the people you see on magazine covers. Those are the people you see on the front of the posters. That's most of the time, especially in my growing up years. That was the big thing. So I had that whole vision in my head of, well, this is how it has to be. And I have to, quote unquote, make it in this period of time. But that's not actually the truth of the industry. And that is, I think, something that blocks actors and puts us on this timeline that makes us look at the short term.
Totally. Well, when I started teaching in 2002. And then from like, I would say about 2002 to 2012, it used to be that if you were this gorgeous 21-year-old, 22-year-old, just gorgeous. You could sign with one of the big reps even if you had never acted a day in your life.
Yeah.
And that suddenly changed about 2013.
I mean, thank God, but...
No, I know. But it was very jarring and jolting to a whole bunch of people. And I mean, there were times where a kid would come in and you're like, you're with UTA, you're with CAA, and I'm like, you can't read sides. I don't understand.
So I moved to LA in 2011.
Yeah.
And that's when that's what I thought was going to happen.
Right.
I thought I was going to be discovered. I was like a pretty little brunette from Missouri. Like, I had a degree too. So I was like,
but you
I'm
were
so
a pretty
ready.
Brunette from Missouri.
And I had no idea what I was doing.
I know. But I really did feel for these people who were thinking that they were part of that story. That was just going to come in, get that show. They forgot to know that they actually had to act.
How many of them do you think left the business within 5 years of that big change?
90%.
Yeah.
I would say 90%. Yeah. I mean, I look at all the actors who've, you know, because you've seen so many people book shows in class and all of that. Mm-hmm. It's the lifers. It's the ones who are like, I'm not going anywhere. It may not happen in the way that I thought it was going to happen.
Yes.
But I'm ultimately becoming an expert in what I do. And at the end of the day, that's all that has to happen. You just got to be ready. You just got to think, I'm looking forward to an opportunity tomorrow because I'll be ready to show up. And that's it. You don't have any control over than what you put into it. And I think as people who, I think that's kind of the theme of today, you only have control of what you can do. And the rest is kind of up to the world.
Yeah.
I love sitting here with you.
I know. Should we start a podcast?
I think we should. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Anytime.
I'm much more comfortable now than I was back when I did yours in 2018.
Oh, you were great.
Oh, well, thank you. But I finally am not scared of... Well, you know what's actually... Last
you were scared of a mic?
No, I'm not scared of the mic. I was... I would say, actually, Zoom helped me.
Oh,
because when I started the Zoom... I kept on looking at myself.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
I was always looking at myself because I wasn't used to looking at myself. And then within months, I got so sick of looking at myself. Now, I don't look at myself. I only will look at myself to make sure that, like, they can see me.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, I'm looking more at the shape of my head and the thing, but I'm not dissecting anything about my appearance or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing is the more you... And that's where when people say, I'm sure they say this about you. It's like the authenticity comes from, I'm not watching myself. I'm not listening to myself at this point. Nope. Perhaps I should sometimes, but I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? I don't keep an eye on sometimes I listen to my podcast because I will forget the cool things that the guests said and things like that.
Yeah.
And I do them so far ahead. I'm like, what is this about? But that is, it's I'm not judging myself anymore. I'm not looking at like, oh, I could have done this better. I could have done. No,
it happened.
It's useless. It's
over.
There's so much content. Like, no one cares. Yeah.
Well, Sam Valentine, my favorite thing is this. What I do remember you said is that you said, are you one broke actress anymore? And I love the fact that just broke has become a hyphenate. It doesn't mean broke just as far as, it's really not about just money. It's about, as a human, mentally, that it's the journey we take and how challenging it is that takes constant maintenance.
Yeah. Thanks, John. That's real special to hear from you. I appreciate that. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. We're going to do it real soon. I like this idea of us starting your podcast.
I live down the street.
There we go. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hashtag Act Your Life is a John Rosenfeld Studios podcast produced by Pave Path Productions. Filmed by Haley Tucker, sound engineering by Haley and Adam Tucker, sound mixing and original music by Brandon Liu and Brandon Liu Music. To learn more about John Rosenfeld Studios, visit www.johnrosenfeld.com.